Congratulations, boy.
So he's like, listen, I'm happy to be the butt of some jokes, but I don't want to be the butt of butt-fuck jokes.
I dropped the line. Bad juju,
man.
You
got one job. Put my shoes out the wrong way in the morning. That's it.
Know these people's names.
You're the shoe slave. Right.
Being a dick. Yeah. People to do
so that. We're going back to masturbation.
Flaccus got hard. I have to say.
I would too.
Deflowering maidens. deflowering maidens.
I would too.
Welcome back. To the life of Augustus.
That's my favorite part of the show, the intro. How are you doing?
The intro? Yeah. Have not had coffee. So, you know, watch out, people.
Gotcha.
That's all I can say. Watch out.
All right. What episode is this?
This is 92.
Sounds good. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in our last episode, Ray, we saw that Augustus, say what you want about him, but he was kind.
Mm-hmm.
He was generous.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to fulfill our philosophy of D-back. He was right. The
embodiment.
The embodiment. That's the word. That's a good big word. See, if I'd had coffee, I would have come up with that word by myself.
Sure, sure.
He was the embodiment of D-back.
I'm the coffee.
Yes, he likes...
I'm the cream in your coffee. No, go ahead.
I say, that's not cream. I know that's not cream.
It's all natural.
Well, it's a kind of cream, but it's not the kind.
I worked hard for that. Anyway, I didn't mean to be rude and interrupt you.
He was deflowering maidens, yes. But listen, who wouldn't if you were the emperor?
True that.
But... we saw that he had lots of catchphrases. Your favorite, as fast as you can cook asparagus.
Right.
How quickly do you come, Ray? As fast as you can cook asparagus, my friend. Better a safe commander than bold. And, of course, my favorite.
What you talking about, Willis?
People don't know that he came up with that. Yeah, but that was originally one of his. It was originally what you talk about, Agrippa. They had to change it a little bit for the classic early 80s TV show.
That's fair.
He lived a fairly simple life for someone so rich he could afford to buy Donald Trump and use his toupee as a throw rug. Speaking of which, I had a laugh this week. I don't know if you've seen this, but Donald Trump's kind of been going to war with Jeff Bezos.
A little bit, yeah.
You've seen that.
A little bit.
He claims it's because Amazon uses the United States Postal Service as his own personal delivery service.
Right.
And everyone pointed out, yeah, that's how we all use it, because that's kind of what it does, right? It's a delivery service. Did I miss something, President Trump?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it does?
And as one of the many people that live in the middle of nowhere, I rely on that. I order from Amazon all the time. I'm glad they're in business.
Yes, yeah, but I love, like, the commander general of the head of the USPS came out and said, basically, yeah, we wouldn't be around if it wasn't for Amazon. Like, no one sends letters anymore. It's only Amazon. That's all that gets sent.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all we do. Our entire existence is delivering Amazon packages to people. But I had love, Trump's net worth, according to Forbes this week, has dropped from, they estimate, $3.7 billion down to $3.1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I think during the election he was claiming it was like $10
billion. Yeah.
Do you know what Jeff Bezos's estimated net worth is?
Slightly more than that.
Yeah. I think it's around $80 billion. He could buy Donald Trump... I don't know, whatever that is.
He could buy his wife.
Goes two, yeah. And then two over, 18, 20 times, let's say. More.
Right.
And then, of course, in our last episode, Lucius and Caius, Augustus's adopted sons, birth sons of Agrippa and Slut, I think we just call her.
No.
What?
Sex in the City Girl. Sex in the City Girl.
Oh, okay. Sex in the City Girl.
Yeah.
Slut. Yeah. Isn't that her name?
Same thing.
Yeah. Both died.
Yeah.
And listen, if people are offended, say we're slut-shaming Julia, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I'm not shaming.
No.
To me, slut is not a derogatory term. I'm a big fucking thumbs up.
Cam's a big slut.
Thumbs up, sluts of the world? Oh, yeah. I used to be. I used to be. I'm not anymore.
Semi-retired.
I used to be. Yeah. I was the world's biggest slut. But now, only with my wife, who just brought me coffee. Thank you, darling.
That's sweet.
Can I be your slut? Absolutely. Ah, there you go. Which brings us up. They both died, which brings us up to 4 CE.
Yeah. And now I thought it was really sad that the news of Caius's death gets back to Rome in the latter half of March, obviously 4 AD. Augustus, as you can only...
CE, we don't use...
Sorry.
Anno Domini on this show, right?
Okay, sorry. Anyway, as we can only imagine... Augustus has got to be devastated. I mean, just everything, all these carefully laid plans have come to naught. He's an old man. Yeah, he has his good couple 15 seconds with the maidens, but the point is, this guy has been running the state for so long, and his sole purpose in the morning when he gets up is, how's the state doing? That even through his grief, he knows he has to make plans. The show must go on. He has to come up with a plan. He's got to come up with something, because basically he's starting over in his 60s.
Well, by the time we finish with him over the next couple of episodes, a lot more shit's going to go wrong. But let's play this. Thanks to you. While I drink my coffee.
Empty spaces, what are we living for? Abandoned places, I guess we know the score. On and on, does anybody know what we are looking for? Another hero, another mindless crime. Behind the curtain, in the pantomime. Hold the line, does anybody want to take it anymore?
Fucking heartbreaking, that song, man. Do you know the story behind that song?
No, I do not.
That was the last song on the last album that Freddie made with Queen. Brian May wrote the song.
Right.
You know, Freddie was dying of AIDS, obviously, even though the public didn't know. And Freddie was apparently so sick when they recorded that song in 1990 that Brian May wasn't sure that Freddie would be able to do it.
Jeez.
And Brian May said, I don't know what Brian May's, I said Fred, because he's very British. I have no idea what Brian May's British accent looks like, but I'm just going to do Prince Charles.
Good choice.
He's a long-haired physicist, rock star, Brian May. So I said, Fred, I don't know if this is going to be possible to sing. And Freddie said, I'll fucking do it, darling. And did a shot of vodka and went in and, according to Brian May, killed it, completely lacerated that vocal, as he did.
Yeah.
Died 6 weeks later.
Oh, one of the greats. Yeah, that's what I do. I take a shot of limoncello for the old vocals and the tubes, and I come on here. before we go on, I have
suck
to...
suck a bit of cock like Freddy did.
You agreed we wouldn't. Anyway, I'm switching my worldview. I'm switching my worldview to Alexander the Great. Here we are talking about Augustus. For, I don't know how many episodes, obviously 90-something episodes. And he's doing this for the state. He's doing that for the state. He's thinking about the state. He's making all these sacrifices, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I think Alexander was right. You know, when you're in charge, do what you're going to do. Get your name in history books. Have a good fucking time. And after you're gone, fuck it. Who cares? It's not going to matter to you. It doesn't matter if it all falls apart. You've had your time of the sun. Your names are going to be in the books. If all these different tribes rise up and Rome becomes nothing more than a peninsula power, who cares? He's had his day in the sun. But that's not how Augustus works. And I was wondering if you had maybe your own personal opinion as far as why this man is obsessed. Is it just because he's trying to take Rome back to the greatness that it was? Was he trying to make up for so much death that maybe he was a part of? But this man only has one gear, and that is forward.
Yeah, well, no, I think of him in the mold of Steve Jobs, uh-huh. Let's say.
Okay.
Steve's on his deathbed. He's trying to set up and position Apple to go on. It's his legacy.
Ah, gotcha.
I mean, maybe it's a little bit of ego. It's this is my contribution to the world, and I want it to survive me.
Right.
So people will remember me because the thing that I created goes on. Obviously, Augustus didn't create Rome like Steve and Woz created Apple, but he certainly has righted the ship and he's built the new Rome, the better Rome.
Rome 2.0, yeah.
He made Rome great again. he wants it to continue beyond him. I think it may be partly ego. I think it almost also might be partly... He cares about Rome. He believes in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Rome.
That makes sense.
Remember, he's a country boy.
That's right.
You know, he's a country boy, and really, thank God he's a country boy. And by God, I mean his father, who is obviously God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. My days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. And life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God.
Don't let me fly that homemade plane. He's a country boy, and I think, you know, I was a country boy when I went to Melbourne to live at 17 for the first time. And I think when you don't grow up in the city and you go to the big city as a country boy, you maybe appreciate it more than people who are born and raised in the city. You take it for granted when you're born and raised in it. Right. When you go there as a country boy and you go, oh, man, this is cool. Like, you could get a cafe latte anywhere he went on the corners, and there was... You know, good bookstores and art house cinemas that he appreciated. Yeah. Multicultural, is like little restaurants. He'd go, you know, go to little Lebanese restaurants and
Ethiopian
African,
restaurant.
You know, Nigerian restaurant. Like, just, you know, you've been to Melbourne, you know what it's like. It's fucking great, man.
Yeah.
You can do everything. You can do everything in Melbourne, and it's clean, and it's friendly, and, you know,
he fell in love.
Just great.
Gotcha.
He did. He fell in love like I fell in love with Melbourne.
Right.
Then I had to move, and I'm sad.
Aww.
But I think he believed. I think he wanted Rome to prosper after he was gone. I think he cared about the people. He cared about his family. He's obviously cared about his family. He didn't want to leave his family a big bucket of shit. I mean, unfortunately, now he has no family.
All he's got is
his daughter's in exile.
Yeah.
He's got two grandchildren left. They're not going to make it. I hate to break it to you, but they're not going to make it.
No.
And at this stage, they've got to be expecting that.
Right.
Right.
It's like Dallas or something. Look, you know you're not going to make it into the third season, right? You know you're going to die. Yeah. Look at everybody before you. Yeah.
They're like a cast member on Game of Thrones. They wake up every day going, really, am I still alive? Fuck me. How did that happen?
Yeah.
So Julia and Agrippa had one son left, Agrippa Postumus.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one, obviously, based on his name. She was preggers with him when Agrippa died. Now, was he Agrippa's? hard to say. Hard to tell. I know she famously said, and we've talked about this, that she only fucked around when she had a bun in the oven.
Right.
But I'm not sure I buy that story.
Yeah.
She
couldn't hold back.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, here's the thing for Augustus, though. I mean, he has spent decades focused on raising the name of Caesar to the heavens, literally, because now his father is a god. But the point is, so whoever he selects is going to have the name Caesar, but they've got to be worthy of it. It would be nice if he picked someone who was actually worthy, who could actually help him. He has to rebuild the stable of young boys to come after him.
You want a stable of young boys to come behind you?
Mm. A bit. There are times.
Jeez, do I have that as a clip somewhere? I should have.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. Come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. Come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. Come.
Oh, and I'm spent.
Now, imagine you're Aggie P, as I like to think of it.
Yeah.
Agrippa Postumus. Aggie P, you're Aggie P. By the time, you know, you reach manhood, the bookies are going to have a field day with the odds of your survival. Particularly if you get adopted by Augustus. It goes down to 1 to 25, man, if you actually get adopted.
Oh,
pretty much that's a death sentence right now to anyone who gets adopted.
Just lie down right now.
People were walking around Rome, you know, with shields to protect themselves from Augustus even looking at them. Because if he even looked favorably at you right now, you were probably going to die in the next 5 minutes.
Man.
It was He was like Medusa. He could kill you with an evil look.
Hey, how would you like? Nope. Gotta go. I'm busy. I'm late for something. Yeah. I gotta go.
But it's like no. Look, pal. No,
untold riches.
Sorry,
I'll be dead, bitch. Yeah.
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 Imagine that. So Augustus comes up to you and says, "Hey, grandson, how would you like to be the next?" You're like, "Fuck off, old man." Leave me alone. I've seen what happens to people you train to take over.
Don't even touch me.
Dead. Now, Aggie P was only 15 when all this was happening. Hadn't yet taken the toga virilis.
Right.
But there's also someone else waiting in the wings.
Yes.
Germanicus.
Yes, I love that name. It's like he should have a giant G on his chest. Germanicus.
Do you know what his first name was?
Oh.
His praenomen?
No, what was it?
We don't know. No one knows.
Oh.
There you go. It's not recorded in the histories what his full name was. He's just Germanic. He's like Madonna.
Right.
When you have a name like Germanicus, you don't need a first name, man.
No.
It's just, just call me Germanicus.
Since he's going to live to be about 80 years old, you think we would have learned it somewhere along the way?
Nope, we did not learn it. He gets the name Germanicus, I think, when he's born, just after his father dies. He's the elder son, just to remind people, of Drusus and Antonia Minor, the youngest daughter of Mark Antony and Octavia Minor, who was Augustus's sister. So Antonia Minor is Augustus's niece, and that makes Germanicus his great nephew.
Right, the nephew of Tiberius. Grand nephew. Right, exactly.
No, grand nephew, not of Tiberius. He's the, well, grand nephew of Augustus as well.
Right.
But which was the same relationship, yeah. I think, that Octavian had to Julius Caesar. He was his grand nephew before he got adopted.
Yes.
He was Julius Caesar's sister's daughter's kid.
Yeah. So that line from Spaceballs, your sister's brother's cousin's former roommate's plumber, whatever. But anyway, how old is Drusus? He's 25 and he's ready to go, right?
Drusus is dead, motherfucker. He's been dead
long. No, Germanicus, long. Sorry. Germanicus.
Yeah, he's 18. Okay. At this juncture.
It's better than 15.
Yeah, this is better than 15. And he's got a knack for the crowd, like his dad. He's like, hey, how you doing? Hey. Yeah. He's got it. He's got it. He's got the moves.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Now I'm sure
he's got moves like Jagger. Jagger. He's got to be 75.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, that was a Rolling Stones 1972 of Mice and Men album. Just making sure.
Yeah. No kidding. That was Mick Jagger is 74, turned 75 in July. That was Mick Jagger's solo album. Mm. What's it called? Wandering Spirit.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm guessing like early 90s, late 80s. Early 90s, I think, yeah.
Good beat to it.
Good album.
Yeah.
Not bad. Good. Okay. That's a good song.
Right.
A couple of good tracks.
Okay.
It's not a Stones album by any, you know.
Yeah. So, quick question. Has anybody else from the Stones been knighted? I don't know.
I heard Ronnie say some shit when Mick got knighted.
But I was just wondering. Just wondering. No big deal.
Oh, yeah. Keith had a field day. Yeah. When he got... I think... No, I don't think so. I don't think Charlie has. I don't think so.
He wouldn't have shown up if they had anyway, so it didn't matter.
Charlie's too fucking cool, man. Like, Charlie Watts is the coolest man in the world. He really...
just transcends everything, yeah.
Yeah, look,
I like the smirk on his face in the videos. He just stands there plucking away.
Yeah. Like, the greatest drummer. I mean, not the most flashy or flamboyant, but he's been the drummer of the Rolling Stones for, like, 300 years. and he's just there, man. Like, he just doesn't say anything.
Lay down a beat. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a jazz drummer, And he's like, boom, yeah, Charlie on the job. That's what they call him. It's Charlie work for fans of It's Always Sunny. It's just Charlie work. He just gets down, just fucking boom. You know, I love in Keith Richards' autobiography, the way he talks about Charlie. He's just like, oh, man, like, you got Charlie backing you up. It's like, you can do anything. Charlie's just there. It's like, boom, it's the engine. It's the engine room.
Right.
Engine room. Yeah, the Stones, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, love Charlie, man. Charlie. Anyway, where was I?
Germanics.
Germs, yeah.
Germy.
So, Germs, you know, Suetonius claims Augustus seriously thought about naming Germs as his heir.
Right.
But decided against it, maybe too young, 18, you know, not really proven, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Just because you can go to the crowd doesn't mean you've got the right temperament to rule the world. I mean, I need to know more about you, and I need to make sure that I'm going to be around long enough to guide you. And he can't guarantee that in his 60s, so he's going to give it a miss.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And as usual, Augustus seems to have ignored the husbands of his nieces and grandnieces.
Yeah.
He said, you know, look, give him a job, but don't let him into the family business. I got a clip of it, actually.
Now, your new son-in-law, we give him something important.
Never. Give him a living, but never discuss the family business.
So that was Augustus's view on that. You don't get them involved in the family business. Of course, there was still one guy waiting in the wings,
right?
Who was old enough and had the experience.
Tiberius.
Tibbo, as I like to call
Tibbo,
him.
Mate.
Tibbo. Valeius Paterculus. Uh-huh. Who was the historian who we'll talk about quite a bit over the next few episodes. He's a contemporary of this era. New Augustus, new Tiberius.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Tiberius, actually. A bit of a, you know, like to lick Tiberius's balls, particularly after he becomes emperor. He wrote, "But fortune, which had snatched away the hope of the great name of Caesar, had already restored to the Commonwealth her greatest bulwark. Caesar Augustus did not delay for any length of time, for he had no need to hunt for one to choose, but simply to choose one of obvious eminence." Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, highfalutin. Lick them nuts. Lick them nuts, Valeius.
Yeah. And not exactly accurate. Yeah. Yeah.
What's not accurate about it?
Well, there. I think there wasn't there supposedly a 3-month gap for when he finds out Caius is dead and he makes his move after, you know, obviously mourning, being sad, but then also trying to consider what his next move is going to be for the state of Rome.
Yeah. You know, walking around the streets going, do you want the job? No, fuck off. What about
you? Everybody?
I get the feeling the last person he wanted to give it to was Tiberius.
I can't give this away. What the hell is going on? It's like high school all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, there's nothing in the sources to say that he looked poorly. Well, not much anyway to say he looked poorly on Tiberius.
Yeah,
but you got to think that after, you know, the shit they've been through, Tiberius at this point has been out of the public eye for a decade.
Wow.
Because he chose to walk away, Renee, and just betray.
Right.
That rhymes. Walk away, Renee. Don't betray your old uncle, eh?
Yeah. If I could add on to that rhyming, but look at his resume.
Oh, look at us. We should give up our day jobs and, you know, just fucking
freestyle.
Go into the rhyming business, man. Yeah.
But he's 40. Oh, God.
By every day, just walk away, and then you won't see me follow you down.
why Augustus thought Tiberius was to blame in this instance. That was just for the kids. Walk away, Renee, the Four Tops from Motown in the 60s, just in case you kids didn't know what we were doing there.
Right.
Didn't know that that was a sly musical reference.
Because you're writing this down. Yeah.
Because you're listening to, you know, moves like Jagger from fucking Maroon 5 and you haven't gone back and got yourself a musical education. I think he was reluctant, Augustus, to appoint Thibault.
Yeah.
But
needs must.
You know, you look at it on paper, twice consul, former son-in-law, former Tribunitia Potestas holder, probably the most distinguished living commander in the empire at this point.
Right.
Been on Rhodes for 8 years, back for two.
Been on tour, yeah.
But, you know, he came back around the time of the death of Lucius. Since then, he's kept a pretty low profile. Instead of moving back into his old house, imagine that. So his house, it was first Pompey the Great's house, then Mark right. Antony took it over when Ooh. Pompey was gone.
Right.
And then Thibault got it. And I imagine he's been away for 8 years. Somebody else has moved in, bought the house and moved in. Imagine there's a knock at your door one day. Yeah. Can you see who that is? Yeah, all right. Open the door. Who are you? Greetings. My name is Tiberius Claudius Claudianus. I can't remember his full name. What is it? Tiberius Claudius Nero Claudianus or whatever.
And don't let the dad bod fool you. I am somebody. I'm kind of big around here.
Fuck off. Yeah. And I'm fucking Julius Caesar. Tiberius is on Rhodes. No, he's in Rhodes. No, really. I'm back. Got any proof of I... Who is it? He says he's Tiberius Claudius Nero Claudianus. Fuck off. Tell him we've already got one. We're not interested. He goes, no, really, look, here's, you know, I don't know. Look, here's my ring. Does he have a ring? I don't know what he has. What is proof of ID is? Look, here's my driver's license.
Right.
Wow, a 16-horse chariot. You must be important. They go, well, what do you want? Well, you're living in my house. I want it back. I don't think so. It's our house. Look, we've got our photos up on the wall.
That's my son over there. Yeah.
Sorry, this is my house. You have to just get the fuck out. I'm back, bitches. But he didn't do that. He could have done that. I imagine he could have done that, but he didn't.
Wouldn't it have looked tacky? Like you said, it's the former home of Pompey. It's the former home of Antony. I mean, two rebels, two whatever you want to call them. And for him to come and rock back up after 8 years or whatever it's been, and to take that house back, like you said, there's probably someone in it. But he was smarter than that, so he's gonna live somewhere else. But when he came back, he contacts Stan and Barry, and he pays them $50,000 in gold pieces, and he says, and they pretty much give him some good advice. Look, you need to come in, you need to fucking lay low, and now that Lucius is dead, you need to write something and share it in public, sharing your grief and praise of Lucius along with Augustus. You need to get in. Look good to the people, and then lay low, and then hopefully no one's going to stab you for all the shit you've caused the princeps for the last couple of years. So again, but I don't think he could have gone back to that house. I think the optics would have looked bad.
He said, "I'm sorry, you have to leave. This is my house." They said, "Bitch, this is our house."
Saying in her sleep,
oh,
brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Our house in the middle of the street. Our house in the middle of the
our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, a mess is not allowed.
In the middle of our street, our house, in the middle.
fucking love that song.
I first saw them on The Young Ones. Did not know. I was like, what the hell is this show? But anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, full disclosure for everybody. Cam and I have been doing some research on cannabis. So this week we've only got three paragraphs full of notes. So that's why you're hearing so many songs. They're fillers. We're sorry.
Speaking of The Young Ones, I went down a Rick Mayall rabbit hole the other day.
Oh, God.
I was watching all these – on YouTube, there's all these live clips of live shows of him and Adrian Edmondson doing their Bottom live.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. Those two guys live.
Especially when they ad-lib and go off script. I didn't see their rolling.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, they knew each other so well and worked together for so long and just played off each other so well.
Yeah, classic.
And then I watched a clip of I think it was a few days after Rick died.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian was doing a gig with his band somewhere.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was sort of doing a bit of a toast to Rick and taking the piss out of him and then raising his glass to the sky and giving a last laugh like, ha! Got the last laugh. It's great. Fucking those two guys, man. Oh
yeah,
Rick Mayall, what a fucking legend.
Genius.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, where was I? Tibbo. So he doesn't move back into his old house. He moves into one of Macinus's villas on the edge of the city. So nice. He's keeping his head down, like you did in Vegas. He kept his head down and kept his mouth full. Now, apart from taking his son, also called Drusus, named after his deceased brother, to the Temple of Mars Altar to get his toga virilis, he's completely avoiding public life.
Yeah, that's a very smart move. Yeah. But again, and we don't have to go into details in this, but I still come up surprised whenever I read something that Augustus is still thinking that the entity that's going to come after him, that's going to rule Rome, is going to be a group of family members and not just a single person. And the reason that I can't get over that is because how much fighting did he have to go through to weed out everybody else? So he was the last one standing, just like Caesar was trying to do. I mean, how does he think this is going to play out when it's never worked before?
My name is Lieutenant Aldo Rain, and I'm putting together a special team, and I need me 8 soldiers. 8. Jewish American soldiers. Now, y'all might have heard rumors about the Armada happening soon. Well, we'll be leaving a little earlier. We're gonna be dropped into France dressed as civilians. And once we're in enemy territory, as a bushwhacking guerrilla army, we're gonna be doing one thing and one thing only. Killing Nazis.
Yeah, like Lieutenant Aldo Rain. Augustus is looking to put together a special team.
I'm bringing back the band. Yeah.
He knows that this power is too much for any one person whose name isn't Augustus motherfucking Julius
That's
Caesar.
That's true.
No, like, it's too hard. No one can do this job, and I think he's proven right.
Yeah.
Like, not many people who get this job do a good job of the job for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's too much for one too much authority resting on one man's shoulders.
Yeah.
So he puts into play now some of the most complicated moves since James Brown invented the James Brown shuffle. Went down a James Brown rabbit hole this week too, man. Like,
what?
Because of that. I was looking for that song to. For the, You go and watch on YouTube some fucking James Brown compilations of his dance moves.
Right.
Oh. And James Brown had it all, man. Like, in his day, I'm talking like in the 60s and the 70s, he was the best looking man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He was like Muhammad Ali, good looking, you know. He had the fucking hair and the clothes.
Yeah.
He was the best looking man in the world. He could sing, he could dance, and he invented funk. Like, what?
He brought the funk. Yeah, yeah.
He took R&B and he invented
and he funk. Fucked it.
You know, it's like, right. Yeah, what if we just go on the backbeat? Oh! Oh, man.
We get one of those a generation, and here was it.
Oh, if that.
Yeah.
Who's the current generation's James Brown?
Maroon 5? No.
So here's the dance moves.
Yeah.
First, Thibaut adopts his nephew, Germs.
Okay, makes sense. He's a teenager, sure.
He's Thibaut's nephew, remember, because he's the son of Thibaut's brother, Drew. Right. Dr. Drew. Then Augustus adopts both Agrippa Postumus, Aggie P, and Thibaut.
Huh. Adopt a 45-year-old man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's nothing particularly weird in Rome about him adopting a teenage boy. I know you've tried to do that a few times. Luckily, the courts prevented you.
And I will in Europe. Go ahead.
But there's absolutely no precedent for the adoption of a 45-year-old former consul who now has two adult sons of his own.
Yeah, and he's his own pater familias. I mean, this is making it up as it goes along.
Although,
yeah,
I remember
uh-huh.
one other weird adoption we talked about a long time ago.
Give me a hint.
No.
No.
I want you to remember the weirdest adoption story that we've talked about.
Oh, God.
I will give you a hint.
All right, thank you.
He was another Claudian.
Nope, can't remember.
You can't remember?
Can't.
Can't. Can't. Don't call me a cunt.
That's only because I know you.
Don't be a cunt, D-back. It was Clodius.
Our old mate
Clodius. Now, this is going back. I'm just going through my notes. I think we talked about this June of 2014, I think,
is when we first
mentioned Clodius.
Right.
When he invaded the Bonadia Festival to seduce Caesar's wife, Pompeia.
Dressed up as a woman.
And also,
his
adoption by a plebeian. Julius Caesar was Pontifex Maximus at the time, with Pompey the Great officiating as the augur. So Clodius was adopted when he was 34 by someone much younger than him.
Dad?
So he could become a plebeian.
Right.
And therefore become the tribune of the plebs, because he had no power, wanted some power.
Right.
And he knew that, you know, the tribune of the plebs, obviously, that they got to say yay or nay to any new laws that were being passed by the Senate. So he's a patrician, like the patrician of the patricians. He's a Claudian. Yeah,
blue blood.
As is Thibaut. And he pulled this stunt to become tribune of the plebs so he could throw his weight around and basically, get Cicero. Yeah. I think he was going after Cicero.
He got him banished from Rome for a while. So, yeah, it worked.
For what? Remember for what?
I can't remember.
For executing the members of the Catiline conspiracy.
Yeah.
Because they were Roman citizens and Cicero was the consul and he had them executed. Yeah. And what year was Cicero consul? Pop quiz.
I can't remember.
63 BCE. And who was born in that year?
Augustus,
yes.
Nice.
See? Pop quiz time, man. You're going to do great the next pub trivia night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these Claudians got a, yeah, they've made a thing out of weird adoptions, although Thibaut's not, well, Augustus adopting Thibaut, I guess, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's not Thibaut's fault, but yeah, that's weird. But it gets weirder. So, hold on, fucking, where's my,
look straight down. To the left a little bit. Because when you were naked, it was to the right, but I was standing up. Anyway.
I was looking for my Days of the Lives thing, but I don't have it here.
Dun, dun,
like
dun,
sands dun. Through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives.
The dysfunctional days of our lives, yeah.
So it gets weirder. So Germanicus is arranged to marry Agrippina, the daughter of Agrippa and Julia.
All right.
So now he's marrying the daughter of his new father's ex-wife.
my eyes just crossed.
Well, I was going to say, no, kind of on Virginia, this isn't weird. This would be it, like, yeah.
That's common. Yeah.
But for the rest of us, it's very strange. Now, and Germs is also Augustus's grandson.
Right.
Now, he's the adopted son of his adopted son.
Right, grandson.
He's also Augustus's grandnephew, as I explained before.
Right, mm-hmm. And now...
And Agrippina, Germanicus's new wife, is Augustus's granddaughter via Julia. So Germs is marrying his own cousin.
Is anybody else getting turned on?
We know that's okay. We've handled this before in another show.
Right.
It's okay because the king said so.
That's right.
Cousins, kissing cousins, kissing's allowed, 'cause we're proud to be cousins. What's a little teasing? Hugging and squeezing. Between us cousins.
See, the king says it's all right, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically, you know, that's the rule of the land, right? If the king says,
it's well, the
if
law.
The president does it, it must be legal. So Germanicus is marrying his own cousin. Now, Germanicus's sister, Livilla,
right,
was supposed to marry Gaius, but he's dead.
Slightly.
So she's now going to marry Drusus, Thibaut's son.
Wow. This is a
so
interconnected family. Yeah.
Germs is also now Thibaut's son. And his sister is marrying another one of Thibaut's sons. So Thanksgiving dinner must have been a real hoot at this house.
I got it. It's not a family tree. It looks more like a spider web.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's obviously a Virginia thing. Now, Thibaut himself, though, is staying single because, let's face it, being married to Julia is probably enough to turn anyone gay.
Yeah, but who would possibly be good enough for him, at, you know, once being married to Julia? And he probably doesn't want to because of all the shit he's been through. So the fact that I think Augustus lets him stay single, I think they were both probably mutually satisfied with that. And he was gay as hell. Yeah. Bias.
Now, there's an odd, who's the odd one out of all of this? Who haven't we mentioned, Ray?
Posthumus.
Aggie P. What's going on with Aggie P?
Well, see, this is what I don't get unless the rumors about him were true. He's 30 years younger than Tiberius. You would think that Augustus would love to have this addition to the stable of young men coming after him. But for whatever reason, even though he's now a Caesar, even though now he's into the fold, his career is not accelerated. His public profile is not enhanced. In fact, Augustus waits another year before Posthumus is allowed to adopt the toga of manhood. And normally what Augustus had done in the past was that he would become consul just so he could present people like Caius and Lucius to the Roman people when they became men and get their career started off with a bang, but not for Posthumus. I don't know if it was Augustus's age because he was too old. He said, look, I'm too old for this shit or whatever, but for whatever reason, this guy's got the name. He's a part of the family, but it's just not going to happen for him. In fact, he doesn't even get the title Princeps Inventutus like Caius and Lucius did, nor is he admitted into the Senate, nor is he going to be allowed to stand for positions of magistrates earlier than most people would, just like all the other ones who have come before him. This guy is getting nothing except for the name, probably a black credit card, and he's a part of the family. But I think the rumors about his temperament were probably accurate, and that they didn't want any power in this guy's hand. But you had to have him along for the ride just because everybody else was getting involved in the family.
Yeah, but what else has he got going against him at this juncture?
He's the son of a Jew. I don't know.
He isn't related to Livia.
Oh.
So... remember, Julia is Augustus's daughter with Scribonia.
Right.
So what we're seeing here, maybe, some scholars think, once Thibaut comes back, and even before that, we've mentioned this before, there's this thing going on between the Julian faction, which mm-hmm. is represented here by Julia and her supporters and her family, and the Claudian faction. Remember, these are two patrician families. These families go way, way back to the days of the Romulus and Remus and the creation of Rome. They're patricians, but the Claudians were far more prominent, far more successful in the annals of Roman history, not the annals. They were the annals of Roman history. than the Julians. The Julians hadn't really made their mark at all. There was a couple of Julius Caesars before our Julius Caesar that had been prefect and I think maybe even a consul somewhere along the line, and his father was a something. But they hadn't really made their mark until Big Julie came along.
Backbenchers for a couple of generations at least.
Yeah, they had a little bit of money and they had a little bit of, they had the name, but they weren't big swinging dicks of Rome. The Claudians I'd said a few episodes ago, I think, they were like 57 consuls, and fucking three dictators, and, they'd had it all. It was like being a Kennedy if you were a Claudian or a what's the equivalent? I don't know. A Bourbon, if you're in France. I don't know.
Right.
They were royalty.
Yeah.
And the Julians are like the Trumps. They're new money, man, relatively new money. So this is going on behind the scenes. And Lucius and Gaius were Julians.
Mm-hmm.
But Thibaut was out of the picture. The Claudians were out of the picture while that was going on. Now Thibaut's back, which is one of the reasons I think why when Thibaut wanted to come back, Augustus said, well, it's up to Caius. Because he knew what was going on. He wasn't an idiot. He knows how these things work, even though he's a country boy. Caius said, yeah, it's fine. Let him back. Caius wasn't threatened. He's like, I'm young, I'm dumb, I'm full of cum. I'm going to be around forever.
I miss those days.
But now they're dead. Now Thibaut's back. The Claudians are back.
Yeah.
And as we see in the next few episodes, back, and he's going to have a big army behind him as well. So I think what we're starting to see here, reading between the lines of Coke, is that this is a Julian versus Claudian fucking smackdown. Right. WWE Rome, man, going
Rome
on
edition,
here.
Yeah. But but taking what you just said, and I admit that I truly don't give the family factionalism as much credit as I should, because these people were raised like this. It's your family first and fuck everybody else. Step on everybody else. So I agree with you that that element is there. But would you say it doesn't go much further than that, as in Livia was probably not responsible for all the murders that you hear about, like in the book or the TV series I, Claudius?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, I think she's probably not. She's no Lady Macbeth. I don't think she's plotting and planning murders and such.
Just taking advantage of situations.
I think she's, you know, trying to manipulate things behind the scenes as a good matriarch of a clan should. Yeah. But no, I don't think she's having people killed. Hard to say. I mean, who the fuck knows? She could have been, you know, what's her face in Game of Thrones, Kevin Spacey's missus. Maybe she's having people whacked. I don't know.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though.
Right. But the point is, Tiberius is like, I'm back, baby. And he certainly is. And Augustus needs him badly.
I'm back, baby! I'm back!
I listened to a great interview with Jason Alexander. He's on Mark Maron's podcast. I listened to a bit of it last night.
Oh, nice.
And I realized something while listening to that. You are the George Costanza of this show.
Aw, thank you.
I was like, holy shit, this guy reminds me of Ray.
That makes you, obviously, Kramer.
Yes. And I was going to say Newman. You actually look a bit like George, too. You're about the same height. Balding.
Oh, well.
Do you have
I have a red sweater vest. Oh, go ahead.
Shh, 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 shh. When you walk. The scratchy pants.
Yes, but that's why I walk bold legged, so it doesn't do that, because, you know, it gets embarrassing. So, anyway. So,
Tibbo. Was now officially a post-adoption known as Tiberius Julius Caesar.
Ooh, nice.
TJC. He had TJC monogrammed on his handkerchiefs, on his cuffs like Trump, down on his cuffs. Boom. Just pull it out a little bit when you're saying hello to people. Hey, look, 40, did he have, 45.
Did he have number two on his hat or anything like that? Or?
Yeah. Is Trump 45? I can't remember. Or 46. Yeah, 45, I think.
I guess. I don't know.
You're in denial still.
I really am.
Now, when he announced his adoption in the Senate, Tiberius's adoption in the Senate, Augustus said, "I do this for the sake of the res publica." Ooh, does that sound to you like, I don't really want to do this, but I have to? Is that what it sounds like, or are we interpreting that wrongly?
No. Well, I mean, who knows? But I think we're accurate. I don't think he's jumping up and down excited. I mean, Augustus has proven time and time again how practical and pragmatic he is. He could pop off tomorrow. You can't put a 15-year-old. You can't put an 18-year-old in charge. You can't put them together because they'll fight and squabble in civil war. You can't trust anybody else because you've accumulated in power and you've put it all in the hands of the Caesars. It's got to be this guy. There is no one else, and he doesn't have to like it, but like you said, if he cares about the continuance of the state, this is his only bet, this is his best bet, and in that vein, I think Augustus could live with this and look at himself in the mirror the next day. But still not.
I mean, like it just reminds me of what I said to you in Vegas. Like, I don't really want to do this. But I have to for the show. For the sake of the show,
right?
I have to do this.
The part I didn't understand, because you were behind me, so I couldn't see the look on your face, when you said, this is going to hurt me. Anyway, I fell for that a couple times.
Now, if he still holds a grievance against Tibbo for walking out, it would be unusual, based on what we know of Augustus, for him to air that in public. We just spent a couple of episodes talking about what a nice guy he was.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're a 14-year-old girl, yeah.
Well, he was really nice to them. the only time, since he was a kid anyway, since the early days of the triumvirate, but the only time he's really aired his grievances in public was when he said, my daughter's a slut and I'm sending her to Slut Island. So it would be unusual for him to air that in public. So maybe he doesn't mean it in a snarky way, but I do this for the sake of the res publica.
That's an oath.
Yeah, it's not it's not exactly, listen.
Can I get a whoop?
I love.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Thibaut. He's proven himself time and time again. He's a good bloke. And I really do believe that he's the best man for the job. And he has my full respect and admiration and love, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Not in that way, but don't take the fact that he's not married and, you know, he just spent 8 years in Greece. Don't take that, you know, for anything. Don't read anything into that. What I'm saying is he's the best man for the job.
Right. And even
I'm not sure that I'm not sure I do this because I have to really carries the same weight.
Yeah, yeah. And looking at his face right now, reminding me of my slut daughter, that's not something I'm going to get over anytime soon, but it's for the good of the state. And again, this is like example number 76 of this guy putting the state ahead of himself when we have seen countless others given to greed, given to temporary insanity for power, lust, whatever. This guy is able to rise above all of that and do its best. And you just want to fucking clone. You want to dig up his body, a DNA, clone the shit out of him and put him in charge of your country. I mean, this guy is if there's anybody who's worthy of that, it's Augustus.
Well, I think that's where we're going to finish this episode. Thibaut is back. I will say, though, that Augustus's surviving letters to him after this time show the normal sort of affection and friendly banter that we've seen in other letters to his family.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever personal feelings he may have, at least in public, he shows respect and trust and love and affection. So that's all we've got to go on. Yeah. But in the next episode, we will see that he puts Thibaut straight to work.
Right.
Straight to work. But then shit starts to go bad all over the place. So what did we learn in this episode, Ray? Hey, Ray, what's the Hunter recap?
Oh God, I forgot. I was going to end with shit is all over the place, but, yeah, so
just like Vegas.
Just like, even though there's been a disaster for Augustus of monumental proportions, he has once again pulled a rabbit out of his hat. He has swallowed his pride and his feelings. He's obviously made some very, very unconventional moves, but now he has two sons. He has two grandsons. One's a middle-aged man. One's a teenager, obviously. So he's got the stable of young men to come after him. So as far as the future is going, things are back to where they were. He's probably not as happy as once he had the Lucius and Cassius.
Hey, Rocky!
Oh, God.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. See? Nothing up my sleeve. Presto! Wrong hat.
Sorry.
That's fine. No, but thing as far as the future goes, as far as the future goes, things are back on course. He's got someone to come after him because he doesn't know how long he's going to live. He might not like it, but Rome is once again in capable hands.
Congratulations, boy.
So he's like, listen, I'm happy to be the butt of some jokes, but I don't want to be the butt of butt-fuck jokes.
I dropped the line. Bad juju, man.
You got
man.
One job. Put my shoes out the wrong way in the morning. That's it.
Know these people's names.
You're the shoe slave. That's right.
Being a dick. Yeah. People to do
so that. We're going back to masturbation.
Flaccus got hard. I have to say.
I would too.
Deflowering maidens. deflowering maidens.
I would too.
Caesar.